What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Witches of Gallery Place podcast. Brendan here today with Greg Finberg back for the... This is the second time you've been on, I think, right? So
yep.
Welcome back to the pod, Greg. Happy to have you. It seems like we have some news to discuss. Minor stuff, nothing major.
Yeah, small stuff. Small stuff. Yeah.
Well, it appears that Bradley Beal is... The trade isn't official yet because they're still trying to work out a few things, but... Right now, Bradley Beal, we know for sure, is going to be heading to the Phoenix Suns, along with Jordan Goodwin and Isaiah Todd. And it looks like our return, as of now, is Chris Paul, Landry Shamet, the right to swap two draft picks in 2024, 2026, and then a handful of second-round picks. I think that the common number I've seen with that is six, so six second-round picks is what I've seen. But I believe that Phoenix would be keeping their second-round pick this year, which is fine because we already have two second-rounders this year. So it doesn't really bother me. But anyway, Greg, you've already talked about this on his space, and I was on Believe in Wizards last night. But just sleeping on it now and having more time to think about it, how do you think the Wizards made out in this trade given the circumstances?
I think they got about as good as they could get considering the circumstances. Now you have to understand what I think a lot of people don't get is Brad's no trade clause wasn't just a veto of any type of trade. It was, he can not only veto where he goes, he can veto what he's traded for as well. So for all of those people that are saying, you know, how do we not get Aiden in a trade for the Suns? Like, it's very possible Brad could have went to the Wizards and to the Suns and said, look, I want to go to Phoenix, but I need Aiden there. Or I need you to keep Aiden so you can trade him and get more pieces to go around me. Like, there's a lot that goes into this. And basically, Mark Bartlestein, Brad's agent, and Bradley Beal played the Wizards like a board game. Like, they signed this contract. They knew he could be traded pretty quickly, gave him the no trade clause. And less than a year later, he's using that no trade clause to basically handcuff the Wizards into doing anything and everything he wants and sending him where he wants for what he wants. He basically negotiated this trade, him and Mark Bartlestein. So that's why we didn't get a good return. A couple bullet points that I want to touch on. We clear $150 million plus in cap space from 2024 to 2026. Chris Paul and Landry Shamet, if they're not traded again, will be fully guaranteed for this season. But after that, we can release them for no guarantee whatsoever. So it'll be off our books. So entering not this offseason, but next offseason, we'll have a ton of cap space. Chris Paul, again, is expiring deal. Not getting first-round picks is a huge L. Like, obviously, Miami's offer had multiple first. Milwaukee could have given you the 2029 first. Sacramento has so many assets, but at the end of the day, he wanted Phoenix, Phoenix only, and Phoenix has zero first-round picks. So, yeah, the no-trade clause really, really messed this up here. And if I can say one thing, I think Chris Paul will be flipped. Chris Haynes reported that the Wizards do want to keep Paul as possibly a mentor to a potential draft pick like point guard, Anthony Black, Cason Wallace, Nick Smith Jr., a bunch of guys like that. But Chris Paul probably wants to move out of Washington. His family has been in L.A. ever since he left the Clippers. I'm sure he wants to end his career there in L.A. And coincidentally, both L.A. teams, the Clippers and Lakers, not only have a need at point guard, but are also willing to make moves to get Chris Paul. As Chris Haynes reported, the Clippers are already showing a willingness to move assets around to get him. As far as what I think a trade for that could look like, it's going to be salary fillers and something to sweeten the deal from the Clippers. Maybe that 30th overall pick, maybe a couple second round picks. But if I had to make my guess, I don't think Chris Paul plays a game for the Wizards, and I'm not sure if Shamet does either.
Yeah, I definitely think that Chris Paul will end up going somewhere else. And that's also a hint that Brian Windhorst came up with. And Brian Windhorst has been right about everything that's happened so far with this new Wizards regime. So I'm going to take his word for it. And I think that Chris Paul will either be a Clipper or a Laker. There are some other teams that could make it interesting. You know, would Miami give you number 18 if they can't land Dame? And you bring in CP3, you know, maybe that's a possibility. Is there a scenario maybe where you could trade Chris Paul and Kristaps Porzingis and move up to try and get number three. Maybe that's, I don't know how Portland would view the Damian Lillard, Chris Paul pairing, but I think that's something to consider. But I think that he'll end up being a Clipper or a Laker for sure, and definitely don't think he suits up in a Wiz uni. Landry Shamet, I think, is a little bit more likely to, just because his money is less. And to be honest, I'm not really sure who's going to come calling for him, but maybe there's a team out there that is strapped a little bit, and his contract, I think, is a little bit cheaper than the MLE. So getting him wouldn't be the worst thing ever for another team. But one thing is clear after this move is that the Wizards are heading into a rebuild, which, again, we've been kind of hearing ever since the news officially came out that Michael Winger and Will Dawkins were going to be brought in. So this comes as no surprise. And again, with how the Wizards were strapped in this deal with the no trade clause, and a lot of Wizards fans understand it enough, I think, at this point. Yesterday, I was like, how do people not understand that this is why we got the return that we did? But I think more fans are coming down to earth a little bit today and seeing it from a more realistic standpoint and understanding everything that went on into making this trade. But there's still a lot of fans that are saying the Wizards got fleeced. And to me, it's like, I don't think, though, and I said this last night on the Believe in Wizards podcast with Matt, Oz, and Ryan, but I can't grade you on a trade in which you essentially had no control over. Like, yeah, you can talk to all the teams and you can put together the packages, but at the end of the day, it was up to Bradley Beal. So for me, it's like, I can only grade on, did they decide to keep him or get rid of him now? And I give them credit for getting rid of him now, because now there's no question as to what direction the Wizards are going to be going in hand. It makes things a little bit more interesting on draft night, because now we could essentially go for any position with that eighth pick.
Yeah, that's one thing that I feel like not a lot of people are talking about. If we kept Brad and we tried to, it wouldn't be a full run it back. I really think Kuz is just so far gone, especially considering he's going to decline that option and hit free agency. You know, teams are just going to offer way more money, and that's fine. I don't want to pay him that much money. But if you say you didn't trade Brad and you brought back KP on that player option, like, you have an obvious need for a point guard on the old roster, but now you don't necessarily have to draft for fit. I feel like where we got it wrong under Tommy Shepard is he drafted for fit instead of for best player available. You know, we had John Wall already coming back from an injury, and then we traded him for Russell Westbrook. Let's take Denny Avdia instead of Tyrese Haliburton, just because we have a need at small forward, not necessarily going to take best player available. You also think of guys like Johnny Davis. We needed a guard last year. There was better players on the table, but we decided to go with him because he fit that current timeline instead of looking towards the future and taking best available. And now I think we're in a spot where you could take a gamble on someone like Bilal Coulibaly or Nick Smith Jr., someone that has a ton of upside but might not necessarily be a great player right away. And we have those years where that guy can develop instead of taking someone like Cason Wallace or Anthony Black just because they fit that need at the point guard position. I know you like Bilal Coulibaly, so I think it's definitely more likely we take someone like him now that Brad's gone.
Yeah, absolutely. And that would still be the pick for me if, you know, not everyone was on the board, but everyone realistically, like out of Asar Thompson, Anthony Black, Coulibaly, whoever, like out of those, the realistic group of guys, I would still take Coulibaly and bet on the potential. And I think that would be a great way, another good way to show that, yeah, you know, things are going to change around here, and we're going to go with the athlete who is extremely smooth, really mature, playing for his age. So that would be a pick I'd be excited about. But to be honest, I'm not going to be upset with whatever they decide to do with this draft pick. I'll support it. I'm one of those people that I try to be optimistic, so I'll support something until the results give me reason not to support it anymore. And I know that people will say that that's like being a fair weather fan, but that's not really how I view it. I try to be supportive, but if the results aren't there, then obviously my mind is going to change. And that's what sports is based on. It's based on results. That's why people get fired. Tommy Shepard, a good example of that. Like the team wasn't the worst it could be, but But when you don't improve and you keep making all these roster moves and you still stay in that same win window, then yeah, you got to go. And I think it just got to a point here with Beal where, you know, the new regime realized we're probably not going to be able to compete for a championship paying this guy this amount of money or being the number one option on a team. And that for me is enough reason to justify why they made the move that they did. And people got to remember too, in terms of the return, that the no trade clause wasn't just a one-off scenario. That no trade clause sticks with him. So now if Kevin Durant, God forbid, I don't want this to happen, but if he gets hurt or Devin Booker gets hurt or then Beal gets hurt and you have to try and make other moves, well, Bradley Beal now can say, no, I don't want to do that. I came out here to be close to my wife's family or whatever the case may be, or I came out here to be with KD and Book, like whatever the case may be. Now he has the opportunity to tell Phoenix, no, you're stuck with me. And in year four, he's going to be making almost $60 million. That's insane for a player of his tier.
Yeah. I mean, you make a couple good points. Number one, like he has that no trade clause, and there was reports that teams like Sacramento and Milwaukee were basically like, we would love to have you. We like that you want to come here, but would you be willing to like waive that no trade clause like and take it out of your contract if you came here? We don't want it to be used against us, because they were so fearful of something happening like this, like it's happened to the Wizards. And Brad said, no, like I want my no trade clause. And the only team willing to do that, I guess, was Phoenix, maybe Miami as well. But it comes down to Brad wanted Phoenix. And he wanted it so bad that he was willing to waive his 15% trade kicker to go there to make the money work. He lost like millions and millions. Like I think it's somewhere around 30 from that 15% trade kicker. Like that's not a small amount. It just shows how much he really forced his way into Phoenix and Phoenix only. Like, obviously, Miami had a better offer. But if you're Michael Winger, like, Brad's like, dude, you can't take that offer. I want to go to Phoenix. And Brad was probably like, you know, I'll put it down to two teams, Miami and Phoenix. And then once he really wanted Phoenix, he was probably like, yeah, you know, about that. I was going to waive it for Miami, but now I want Phoenix. So you're going to have to make it work. And you're seeing that with all the things we're having to give up. Not only are we not getting good return, we're having to give up people like Jordan Goodwin, who I honestly, coming into the season, viewed as a legit rotational piece. Knowing that we'll probably move on from DeLon and move on from Monte. Like, this guy just signed a four-year deal, has worked his way up through the G League, through the Go-Go, and through the organization to get to the point he's at. And now, once he's reaching that place where he can actually contribute to the team, we're having to send him off, because I'm sure Phoenix needs guys like him and like Isaiah Todd on cheap deals that can maybe contribute. Isaiah Todd's terrible, by the way. Like, I've seen all these Suns fans like, oh, like he's three years removed from being basically a first round pick. Like, he never plays. You never know. Isaiah Todd is trash. Isaiah Todd was putting up like 10% from three against G League players. He'd come into the NBA games and he would just throw out complete bricks with 10 seconds left in garbage time against some of the worst players on the NBA teams. And then he wasn't even playing at the end of the season. He played the last game for 2 minutes because he's that bad. Like, the Wizards just saw no future for him, put forth no effort in developing this guy and giving him NBA minutes. So from a Wizards fan, this doesn't move the needle at all. I don't care. Like, I'm just happy we don't have to pay Isaiah Todd $2 million to sit on the bench the whole year. Like, I don't think it's that big a deal.
No, it actually does us a favor.
Yeah.
Jordan Goodwin does hurt a little bit, but at the same time, like, he's going to be, I think, 25 this coming season. So it's like, how, like, did he really have a place here long term? You know, probably not, especially if we're going to be drafting another point guard and then you try and bring in a veteran mentor. It just gets a little wacky. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not going to complain about Jordan Goodwin being off the team again. It clears up another roster spot. Maybe that helps make room for one of the second round picks we're going to make this year, you know? So at the end of the day, and Phoenix needed guys like that because they're not going to have the money now. So they needed to be able to bring in guys on cheap contracts who may or may not be able to give you some help. And again, like when Beal, Booker, and Kevin Durant, like let's not underestimate this here. When healthy, this is the best offensive trio in basketball and the best offensive trio in basketball that we've seen in a long time. So, I mean, these are three guys that can each give you 30. And when was the last time this happened? Like when Bosh, Wade, and Bron were all in Miami? I mean, maybe that Cavs team or the Warriors team there, but when they had Durant. But this is good offensively in this league right now under this new CBA as it's going to get. So from that standpoint, if you're Phoenix, I definitely understand from their standpoint to want to make this move. And it seems like their new owner really isn't wasting time with trying to put together a team that can go compete for a title.
Yeah. I mean, Matty Shiba has proven like he literally got there and immediately traded his whole team and his whole future for Kevin Durant. Like he seems like a guy that kind of wants to win and he's not really willing to wait for it, which is fine by me. Like you can pay Bradley Beal $50 million for a year all you want. And if you're winning championships, like, good for you. I think an underrated part of this trade is the fact that he got traded out west. I mean, obviously, like, the Wizards, it wasn't like a preference. Like, they would have traded him to Miami in 2 seconds if they could. The package is all that matters, especially considering they're not going to be that great for the next couple years. But, I mean, you don't have to play him 4 times a year with the Heat. Like, I guess that's a positive if maybe we turn this around quicker than possible than usual and are kind of back in it with like in 2 to 3 years. You know, we won't have to face like a super team in Miami for that long, but I also think Dame is probably gonna end up in Miami. So look, you never know. But the main thing from this is that we don't have to pay him. All of the fans, including myself, when he signed that Supermax, like I'll admit it, I was pretty happy like that we brought him back. Not based on the deal he signed and definitely not happy about the no trade clause, but you kind of brought yourself to like live with it because you knew it was inevitable. You knew it was going to happen. And you were just hoping that maybe he meshed with KP and Kuz developed into that third star and you kind of made a little bit of a splash this year. But it just didn't happen. And for the front office to come in here and not even a month in, be willing to gut the whole roster and start this over, something that Ted and Tommy weren't willing or didn't see possible for the 4 or 5 years they were together is very refreshing from a fan standpoint. Like, we're not just going to sit here and be a laughingstock of the league. Like, yeah, we're going to be terrible for the next couple of years, but at least we're going to be terrible with a plan instead of being terrible without a plan.
Right. I mean, it's not good to be bad, but it's better to be bad on purpose than be bad on accident. And I think that's the one thing that the fan base was tired of was being bad on accident. And every offseason and every trade deadline, Tommy would get up there and tell us how this is going to be a great team and how they are going to make a push for the playoffs. And none of it just ever came to fruition. And, you know, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt in the sense that, you know, the team wasn't as healthy as they could have been. But you knew this when you acquired KP and you knew that Beal hadn't played a lot of games. So I was listening to the Bill Simmons podcast this morning, and Ryan Russillo was saying that Bradley Beal in his career has missed like 20% of his games and 33% over the past 2 seasons, I think is what he said. So, I mean, again, this is another reason I think that the Wizards weren't able to get as good of a return. But again, when you're dealing with Phoenix, we already knew. Wizards fans already knew as soon as their name was brought up, and that's why it was such a surprise, is because they realistically had no first-round picks to give. Do I think we maybe could have gotten one or two if they had some available? Sure. But when Brad picks Phoenix, Phoenix doesn't have any first-round picks, therefore you are not going to get any first-round picks in return because they legally cannot give you any. So, again, like you said at the top of the show, this was a masterclass from Bartlestein and Beal, and I did like that Woj put out a statement that Bartlestein statement that basically said that Michael Winger and Ted Leonsis were awesome to work with during this process. And I think that that does mean something. You talk about in Michael Winger's opening press conference when they want to be a destination for players. And I think that that kind of starts with having a good reputation with star level players around the league. So again, overall, I think that this was a great first step. It needed to happen. No, it wasn't the best return you could have gotten, but this isn't something that you can blame this new regime on. This has to be blamed on Tommy Shepard, because quite frankly, that's why the Wizards are where they are today. It's not Bradley Beal's fault. I don't even think it's Ted's fault, really, to be honest with you, because I think Ted's always been said the same thing, like whatever direction you decide you want to go. And as long as you have a thoughtful plan and you come to me, then I will agree to it. And maybe that was, and to be honest, I kind of believe that, because looking at Tommy's plan over the past 4 years, it seemed like he didn't really have one. It was just keep shuffling the pieces around until something finally works. And that's not how you win in this league. You have to have a plan. And I just don't think he ever had one. So from Ted's point, no, it's like, why would I sign off on anything that you've had to say when nothing has worked and, you know, he gets fired. So, I mean, that's how it adds up for me.
Yeah. I mean, if I could touch on Tommy Shepard, I mean, if I describe his tenure, obviously he didn't have a plan. His plan was reactive instead of proactive. Like, he wasn't planning ahead. He didn't have a series of moves correlating with each other in series of events that all make sense together. It was just kind of like, okay, I'm going to trade John Wall for Russell Westbrook, so maybe we compete this year, even though Russ will be a free agent and probably not want to stay. And he's like, you know what? I'm not going to think about that now. I'll just think about it when I have to. That time comes, Russ says, look, Tommy, I'm not going to win here. Get me out of here. Brad, you should come too. Tommy Shepard then trades Russell Westbrook. Great move. Gets a bunch of these pieces and then runs it back and says, look, that was a move that I had to make. Let's try to run this thing again with Brad, and I'm not going to move him. And basically get off to a good start, but then are terrible again, only win 35 games. And you get to a point where, oh, I need to trade Spencer Dinwiddie. I'm going to bring in Kristaps Porzingis. And you get Porzingis for the rest of that season, but you amount to nothing, okay? And then this season, or this offseason, you realize, oh, I traded Dinwiddie. I don't have a point guard. Okay, let me try to find one. I'm going to trade KCP, who is coveted by all these contenders as one of the best 3-and-D players in the entire league. You trade KCP for Will Barton, who's like 32 years old and is on his way out. Barely played last year for the Nuggets. And Monte Morris, who's a career backup point guard with the Nuggets, also undersized, bringing him into a team who already is not good at defense. And you get fleeced in that trade, but you needed a point guard because you weren't proactive and you didn't understand this was a problem that you needed to address a couple years ago. And you enter this season, Monte Morris is decent, but not really that great. Terrible defender. Will Barton gets DMPs from the get-go and is eventually bought out. And now you're to a point where you have to trade Brad at the deadline, and you hold on to everyone, including Kuzma, because you think injuries are the problem. And the only move you make is trading Rui because you want Denny to be unlocked, and you think Kuz is the guy that you want to re-sign for $30 million. And all you get is a couple second-round picks and Kendrick Nunn, who, again, barely contributed and is going to be gone after this season. You eventually bought him out, and Rui Hachimura is putting up huge numbers for the Lakers in the playoffs. Like, it's just bunches of reactionary moves from Tommy, and he had zero plan. And it's about time that Ted finally realized, like, what is this dude doing? Like, I'm letting this guy run the team I pay millions of dollars into every single year. Like, I can't do that anymore. I got to fire him. So I'm glad he's gone. I'm glad we have actual people in the front office who understand what they're doing, and hopefully they got a plan and they're going to execute it.
Two more key dominoes for the Wizards this offseason. And I think what happens with these two and then in the draft is going to be what the roster essentially is for this first season. Maybe I'm sure they'll sign a free agent or two and it won't be anything major. But Kristaps Porzingis and Kyle Kuzma. Now we can go ahead and get Kyle Kuzma out of the way because I think this is the easiest of the two to talk about. It goes without saying he's going to opt out because for him, if he was to opt into that $13 million, I mean, that you can easily get two first-round picks back today, like you could at the deadline. That would be a terrific movable contract. However, that's not happening. He's going to opt out. I'm just, based on the teams that we've seen where there's potential fit for him, it's not going to be a scenario where the Wizards necessarily need to be involved in a sign-and-trade. Because I think a lot of these teams are just going to be able to sign him outright. So if Wizards fans were hoping for the sign and trades for both these guys, I'm not so sure at this point it's going to happen for Kuzma based on the teams I've seen. I mean, it's like the Pacers, the Kings, you know, maybe the Pistons. I mean, these are teams that have cap space. They don't, I don't think that they need to work out a sign and trade to get his services.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty set in stone. Kuz is going to opt out. He can demand, I'm assuming, 25 to 30. I always viewed his contract extension as looking something similar to Tyler Hero, who's on 4 years for $120 million. Is Kuzma worth that? To me, no. I think he might be worth at max 25, but it's pretty rich to pay him 30. But obviously, like, you got to respect it. He's put in his time. He's on his third NBA contract. He's a great player and can really contribute to a lot of teams, and he's going to get paid. Like, a lot of teams with cap space, like Charlotte, Detroit, Indiana, they need wings. They'd be willing to pay him. So I think, I mean, he's just so far gone. All signs to me have pointed towards KP opting into his deal. And it's not due to the fact that KP had a bad season. Like, he had his best season maybe of his career. But at 27, like, and with all the injuries he's gone through, his market just isn't there. Like, I can't see a team paying Kristaps $30+ million per year just because I don't know how he fits with a lot of other players. We saw in Washington when the offense is run through him, he's an all-star caliber player. But on teams like Dallas, when he has to defer to as a second option, he just kind of stays on the three-point line and doesn't know really what he's doing, which is frustrating, I'm sure, for him, because when he used correctly, you saw how good he is. But I just don't know his market's there. So I think the best thing for him to do is probably opt into his deal and see if the Wizards are going to trade him. Maybe they do. And if not, he is in a great spot to play next year and continue to build his stock up. So hopefully the following year, maybe it's the Wizards that want to give him that big deal, and maybe it's another team that wants to give him a big deal. But I think the sample size for KP is too small considering their injury risk for a team to give him that much money. So I do think he ultimately opts in.
Yeah, and you know, maybe there's a team somewhere that gets desperate enough that they would be willing to offer him a 3 or 4 year deal. But again, I'm with you. I'm not sure that there's going to be necessarily the largest market there for that. And again, you know, you can opt into your option, build some value, and then we can ship you again at the deadline. Because I mean, we already talked before how I think most Wizards fans kind of thought that KP was already the best player on the team. And now without Bradley Beal and Kyle Kuzma, and hopefully Wes Unseld Jr. doesn't go away from him for an entire three quarters of basketball after going to him in the first quarter. But I mean, this is a guy that could potentially give you, like, you know, 28, 29 points, 10 rebounds. And who doesn't want a guy like that at the trade deadline?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting for KP. I mean, he only has till Wednesday to opt into his deal. So it's not like he can explore free agency and test his market, see what he can get, then come back and opt in. Like, it's the other way. He has to opt in. So if he opts out, he's really banking on the fact maybe he gets a promise from a couple of teams. They'll give him a decent deal, like 3 for $90 or something. But he can't. It's not like he has that luxury of figuring out his market. He's got to make a decision now. So I feel like the safest bet would probably be to opt in. I mean, guarantee yourself $36 million. And then after that, you can try to negotiate a deal with the Wizards to extend you, or you can bank on yourself to hopefully have another great year where you can test free agency next year, or maybe the Wizards will move you and you can get an extension elsewhere. It's a lot of moving pieces with Porzingis, but I think it's just the smart thing to do considering the uncertainty of his market to opt into his deal.
Now, they did throw out there Evan Massey, who fans have different opinions on him. I'm never going to crap on someone who's genuinely trying to do a good job. And there was probably someone who did tell him that. I don't think that reporters put this stuff out there, especially with knowing how controversial that can be, like, especially with Porzingis on the number 3 pick. Like, what? So I'm sure someone somewhere told him that. But again, it's like how Windhorst, Woj, and Shams, it's like, you know, sometimes you got to be careful and you got to wait because you never know what people's agendas are when they give you information. So there are those reporters from Bleacher Report and Hoops Hype and things like that that may know legit people, but will sometimes report everything you hear. And that's why a lot of the times there's all these rumors and then nothing comes of it. Well, it's because there really wasn't anything to make of it. It was just someone giving you information, probably for political purposes. So I'm not going to read too much into Porzingis for three, but maybe there is a scenario where you could try flipping him to a team for a first round pick this year. It would have to be obviously it could be a draft night trade, I don't know if that's something given his number, if that's something that would happen relatively quick. But I guess if there's a regime that could pull that off, it would be this one, because I didn't think they were going to trade Bradley Beal as quick as they did. And, you know, here we are.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we end up with multiple first-round picks on Thursday. Obviously, I have no sources. I'm just saying this. But, there's a lot of teams, sorry, that are willing to move assets at the back end of the first round, I'm sure, for pieces that can contribute, especially if they're expiring salaries. A lot of teams need point guards. I mean, look at Memphis. They're going to be a quarter of the season, more than that, without their starting point guard. They could use a DeLon Wright or a Monte Morris to fit in that backup role behind Tyus Jones. A bunch of teams need point guards. We have three right now, Chris Paul, DeLon Wright and Monte Morris on expiring deals that I feel like could at least garner a second round pick, but can definitely garner some interest in the first round. So I think we'll probably stay put at that eighth pick, and then you never know, we could be picking anywhere in that 20 to 30 range, which would be great because it's such a deep draft with so much talent.
Yeah, and like, you know, Portland, I know that they would like to move number three, but I mean, even if it was like Anthony Simons and pick number 23 for Porzingis, I still think that that's a scenario where that's good value for the Wizards. So I mean, Chris Paul and Porzingis both have the opportunity to net you first round picks, and then Monte Morris and DeLon Wright again. I think, like you said, I think that's more second round, but it wouldn't surprise me if someone wanted them for a first round pick. You know, maybe you have to throw in Daniel Gafford or Denny or Kispert, Johnny Dave, whoever. But I think that that's definitely a possibility as well. And that's what's going to be really fun is these next few days and getting to see how Will Dawkins and company are going to shape this organization for the foreseeable future. And it's going to be an exciting time, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, got a lot coming up probably in the next week or so. Will be like the brunt end of the whole offseason for the Wizards. Obviously, Wednesday, you got the deadline for Porzingis and Kuz to opt into their player options. Kuz expected to opt out. Porzingis expected to opt in. You also have the draft Thursday. Wizards have pick 8, 42, and 57, and possibly more. You got the potential addition of a third team in the Beal trade, where we could send Chris Paul to a team out west, and maybe Shaman as well, pick up additional salary fillers on expiring deals, and maybe some draft capital as well. So there's definitely a lot to look out for this week. It's going to be pretty exciting.
Yeah, definitely. Couldn't have said it any better myself. For those of you that don't follow Greg, please make sure you go follow him at Greg Finberg on Twitter. Also with Bullets for Greg, you do Twitter Spaces, man. You ought to invest in a podcast, dude.
I know.
You ought to invest in one. It's got to come. Again, it's
soon come, man.
Exactly. It'll be here. You'll find it. It'll be the right time. The one thing I can say is that I'm thankful for is I think we have a lot of good content creators, and for a team that really hasn't given anyone to cheer for or really talk about a whole lot over the years. So shout out to all the other Wizards content creators. I can't name all of you. I don't want to because it'll take a long time and I know I'll forget someone. But again, those of you that don't follow Greg, please make sure that you go ahead and do that. Find his work on Bullets Forever. If you're not already subscribed to our podcast, please make sure that you are. Rate us 5 stars, leave us a kind review. Damo and I will be back with you probably tomorrow or Wednesday to give you our final pre-draft thoughts. Maybe something else comes up with the Beal trade. Chris Paul goes somewhere else, whatever the case may be. But we'll be back with you either Tuesday or Wednesday before the draft. Also, draft night this week. Damo will be on with Matt Moderno and Kevin Broom from the Bullets Forever podcast, and they're doing a live stream, I think, of some sort also taking donations. I forget the name of the charity, but please make sure that you guys participate in that as well. But thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time.